It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and anywhere else they travel. If you love golf and like to laugh, Golf DMV is your place. This ain't your stuffy, snobby, boring golf show. It's Golf DMV.
Welcome back to Golf DMV, brought to you in part by Cache Spine Sports, conveniently located Silver Spring, Maryland. She's not in Denver yet, although she went to Denver to learn these new techniques that Lawrence was just raving about. I mean, even still raving about. Sunday, we were out helping our fellow man. We were feeding the homeless, and Lawrence, I mean, was just like the range of motion as he was passing out food and stuff. It was just, it was immaculate. I hadn't seen him move this young in years, and he's looking good, feeling good. He'll tell us about that coming up. But Cache Spine Sports, you can learn more at golfdmv.com. Check out Dr. Smith. And I'm telling you, she gets this new technique down that she's got Lawrence. It's going to change. It's going to change your life. Of course, Lawrence is here. Vern is here. I got a lot to get to. Got some Q school stuff, some money being handed out on the PGA Tour that I had no clue about. Vern's got the update about how popularity can also affect your pockets. So, by the way, and here's the whole, I was going to say before when you do the story, but the way this makes me feel is that when you're in school and your parents right. tell you, don't try to be the popular kid because, you know, that's not where the money is. Apparently in golf, that is. And so you can make yes. a lot of money being popular, but we'll get to that a little bit later. First order of business, Raul Chavez emailed us. Raul, number one, thank you for listening to the show. And thank you for emailing us. And so after the last show, you know, Lawrence was just raving about PXG clubs, his PXG club that he played with while he was out in Denver. So here's the message. It says, Lawrence's story about playing with PXG clubs was great. Made me go to PXG website and found out they are having a Christmas sale. That's mm-hmm. PXG.com. So last time we're going to mention that website, unless they want to be a sponsor of this fine show. He says, I live on the West Coast and probably will never get to play the courses you talk about. Don't say never, Raul. If you ever yes. get a chance to come to the East
Bandon
Coast.
Bandon Dunes.
Yeah, Bandon Dunes. We can play. Yeah, we can ride up to Bandon. Or if you ever come to the East Coast, let us know, you know, and you can play around with us. You'll have to pay, but no, we'll pay for you. Right? If you make it all the way over here, we'll change you to a round man.
That's the least we can do, right?
It's the least we can do. So he said he'll never get to play the courses that we talk about. He said, but I look forward to each week to hear you all talk about golf and life experiences. And so, yeah, Raul, thank you so much for listening to the show. You know, we were going to respond to the email, but we just responded to it on the podcast, and you listen to it all the time. So there won't be any kind of electronic correspondence, just a shout out here on the podcast. But feel free to keep emailing us. And by the way, if you like Raul, you want to email the show. We'll read them all we'll read most of them.
You know, as long as they're broadcast worthy.
Yeah, right. You gotta have a hot take or something like that. But anyway, let's get going. So Lawrence, we gotta get this update, this mm-hmm. PXG update, this neck update, this back or whatever's going on, because you have an update. Perhaps it's not just the PXG clubs that you're smoking right now. Let's give us an update on what's going on with this.
Okay, so Vern, I played with Vern and Gabre and what's the other guy's name?
Matthew.
Okay, yeah, we played at Enterprise on Saturday morning. So I hadn't played since I had come back from Denver. So I got there early because I like to hit the range anyway. So I got there early and I'm hitting balls at the range. And everything is going longer than it was before I left to go to Denver.
Now you're not hitting with any PXG because these are your Mavericks that you got last year.
These are the Mavericks that I got fitted for earlier this summer. So I'm a couple of times I hit some balls and they went so far that I had to stop and pull the club and turned it over and make sure I was hitting an eight. I thought, well, maybe I was hitting a six. Maybe I picked the wrong club. But it was still an eight, and it was still going 160 yards, okay. And which is not doesn't normally do that. Mm-hmm. So I kept, I'm going up and down the line of the clubs, and they all are just banging out. Mm-hmm. So I get up to the course and talk to Vern. Like, man, I don't know what's going on, man. But everything is going long again. Mm-hmm. First hole, I hit my regular drive that I've been hitting. On hole number one, I had 92 yards to the green after my drive. I chunked the second shot, but that's a whole different subject. The point is...
Well, that's the par three challenge.
Right. The point is that I was hitting everything long, mm-hmm. again, just like I was in Denver. Mm-hmm. So I have surmised that it may not have been the clubs, that it was not the clubs. It was actually the treatment that I got has freed up my neck and or my back and swing or whatever. And my range of motion has increased. And that is what has caused this increase in distance. Mm-hmm. Now, I've talked to a couple different people about this, and none of them are medical professionals. One person I told, who shall remain nameless, that lives here in the house with me, mm-hmm. when I mentioned to her that I was hitting the clubs just as long here that I had in Denver, mm-hmm. her response was, well, let me see you do it three times in a row. before we call it
a success. Club. Okay. So not exactly the most positive feedback you were hoping for.
No.
But this is why when you get good news like this, you got to go to the positive people. Like, you know, I'm always going to be supportive. So you got to tell people like me first. Like, oh man, this is great. Right. Everything's changed now. This is wonderful. You know, this is what you got
to go. So I talked to somebody else who is not a doctor, but at least did studied in college. And their take was that the pain.
Wait. This person studied to be a doctor, just didn't finish.
Well, they ended up changing majors. They started out as a doctor, as a medical major, and then mm-hmm. ended up going in a different direction.
So forget this. But okay.
Very knowledgeable about medical stuff, because a lot of times when I have something to, I'll converse with them about medical issues, and they usually
spot on. Spend time on it. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, and I think their sister's a doctor as well. So, I mean, kind of runs in the family. But whatever. So their take was that the pain that I was having and the restriction I was having in my neck, because the neck is such an vital part of your anatomy, that once that was freed up, now everything, the rest of my body is feeling mm-hmm. the effects of that.
Right.
Of that freedom. So, you know, maybe I had got so used to the pain and the range of motion that I, you know, either instinctively or physically just could not turn, but so far.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So your potential is back. Your full potential is back.
Now that impingement is gone, now that I can swing freer and make a bigger turn or whatever. Right. Something along those lines. That was their impression. So I have a round scheduled for Friday morning in Myrtle Beach at the Wizard. Yes, the Wizard, which is a link style course that I've always wanted to play, but whenever time we went, I tried to book it. It never really fit into our schedule. So I'm going to try that on Friday, and I'll report back if indeed the distance is still there.
Right.
But to Raul's point, I still like the PXGs. Don't get it twisted. Oh, I do like them. They, you know, and this is going from memory, cause I have them in hand, but they do. I distinctly felt like they were lighter than the ones than my Mavericks.
Right.
That much I do know. And since I've been back, I have, like Raul as well, I've gone to the PXG website and I have priced out a set. And the price, but here's the deal. I was shocked. The prices are not as exorbitant as I was led to believe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because they're having this sale. A normal one club would normally cost you $300, $300+ for one club.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, because of the sale, they're like $130.
Like normal club prices.
Yeah. So when I priced them out, just, you know, I didn't put any, because you can customize them, of course, and everything. But just doing them a basic club, basic, you know, golf ride grip, a CP2, a regular old shaft, whatever, you know, graphite or steel, it comes out to about the same price that I pay for my Mavericks.
Okay. So are you looking at getting some new? If you get these, will you get them fitted though? Like, will you go to the golf doctor or somewhere and say, "Hey, this is what I want. Fit me for them."
Let's not go that far. I just spent $1,800, or I haven't been to spend $1,700 6 months ago on club. I'm not in the habit of just dropping $1,500 here and there like Vern is. I'm not in the habit. Let me put it this way. I am not in the habit of doing things like that with my money. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, mm-hmm. I don't think, and we have to do more research, and Rob might know the answer to this already. I don't think you can go to, and maybe you can go to, you know, Billy Bob's fitting emporium. You can probably get fitted. I guess he can take your measurements and everything. You could take those measurements and then take them to PXG.
Yeah.
I don't think you can go to Billy Bob's Emporium and get fitted and buy PXGs through Billy Bob. I think PXGs has their own special studios, which there aren't probably maybe 10 around the country. And there isn't one close to us. They have their own fitting studio. So I think you would have to go somewhere, get generally fitted, take those measurements, and then import them into the PXG website and order. That's how I think it happens. I could be completely wrong because I haven't done any research. This is other than what I just saw on their website and how it looks like it works.
Okay. Right.
Well, listen, I couldn't be happier that you feel better and swinging better.
Yeah, I feel better.
And optimistic feel about better. The distance with the clubs. Listen, I'm happy for you. I couldn't be happier.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. We'll try this a couple more rounds as if the person related to me by marriage has said, and we'll see if the trend continues.
All right. So just so you know, as of November 18th in 2021, PXG has 10 wins, 10 professional wins. Not just on the PGA Tour, though. This is PGA Tour, right. LPGA.
LPGA, right.
Ladies European.
Was one of their...
Exactly. Corn Ferry Tour, and then and I think Coke Rack is a PXG mm-hmm. guy. So you know, doing something, trying to run up against the big boys, so... Mm-hmm. I don't know why tour wins means anything to us. I don't know why I pulled it up. I tried to throw some sort of shade on there. Actually, I wanted to pull it up and see if it was like four or three. Just be like, oh, you know, PXG three wins. You know, and I have no idea how many Mizuno has. I don't know why.
That's true. I very seldom see Mizunos on anybody's shirt or hat or whatever when they're playing. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. You know, Frishon had to be psyched about getting Brooks. You know that. I know we talked about that.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Speaking of Brooks, was it after the show we did a couple weeks ago? LB sent the text out like, isn't it funny how we didn't even talk about the match between him and Bryson? I saw them tee off on 7.
Okay.
And Bryson hits it all. It's in the woods somewhere off, far and off. And Brooks hits it right on the on the fairway. It's walking down. But I was like, I don't want to watch this.
Yeah,
I just don't.
And no interest. I'm happy you dragged him.
Could you imagine if Bryson won? Like he would. He would be insufferable.
Yeah, the Bryson hive would be out in full force, doing the most.
Right.
You see force plates. If you use these, you get your feet up. It's like, come on, just calm down, bro. Just stop it.
Speaking of players who are popular on tour, players who aren't popular on tour. Yeah. Bird, you were introduced to this thing called PIP. Had no clue about it. Explain what this is and give us a lowdown on what it is and what's happening.
So for those not aware, this thing, I guess this is going to be started here on the tour this season. It's called the PIP. It's called the Player Impact Program. What is it? It's basically they created a way to reward those. This is according to the guy who created it, whose name I'll get in a second. But it's a way to reward those who've had a quote-unquote positive impact on our business. So basically, who's driving dollars in golf? I'm sure Tiger is like thrilled to hear about this now.
That's what I was thinking too. Right.
And so there was a little bit of like every change, like this is I guess this has been in the talk, been in the works for some time now, and ever since then, you know, people kind of complain about it because there's this idea that of all the professional sports, you know, the golf is one that rewards your performance only the most, and all your extra money comes from your equipment and your appearances. Because I didn't know this until I read this story from Golf Digest. I don't know if you guys know, the PGA Tour does not allow paid appearances by any tournament. So if you have a tournament, you cannot pay. I know you can't pay a player to be in a tournament, mm-hmm. but there can't be any sort of money. Yeah, yep, nope, any of that. Even just for like a, hey, I'm just here just to promote. Nope, none of that. Money has to come from from your performance. So this kind of flies in the face of that to some people. Some people are like, oh, you know, you're rewarding the richest players, blah, blah, blah. But according to them, again, this is just, it's a popularity list, I guess. It's 10 golfers. All right, it's 10 golfers. How much money are we talking? $40 million prize pool. Winner gets $8 million. Second place gets $6 million. And then it's like $3 to $3.5 million for 3 through 10. Now, this is funny. The winner, I guess they said, will it be made known? So the winner will be determined in February. But it won't be made public, but I know damn well that the information is going to get out. They might as well just make it.
It's
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it's going to be leaked. Yeah, especially amongst the players who talk amongst themselves about, you know, that PIP money or whatever else. So, but what I thought was interesting, so the criteria, like how is this determined, right? Because it's a popularity mm-hmm. contest. They said they wanted to be, quote unquote, as objective as possible. I don't know how objective you can be with popularity, but They're going to use Google searches. So how many, I guess they have a metric for how often your name is searched. If you're Adam Scott, you will not get the benefit of having the same name as the actor. So they'll filter that stuff out. Something called the Meltwater Mention. Claude may know what this is. I don't know. Meltwater sounds like a name of a media company, but it tracks how often your player or players mentioned across global media. So it tracks your mentions. MVP index, which is a measure of your reach on social media, a Nielsen score, which is basically how often you're on TV, and then last but not least, your Q score, which is a old measure of which I'm familiar with, but it's an old measure of how familiar people are with your name and stuff like that. So those are the five criteria that will be used to determine who's quote unquote helping the game the most, and that person will get $8 million on top of all their winnings. Now, here's what I think. Here's the other part that's interesting.
Okay.
It's not just, I'm like, cool, they're just going to hand them a stroke of a check, and they're good. No. Yeah. The money's paid in two parts. You get half after you do like an appearance. Some appearance the PGA Tour determines. First half. The second half, I was like, cool, after that you get the second half. No. The second half you get when you participate in some tournament that the tour deems that you need to participate in.
Yeah. It's going to be it's going to be a way to try to get some popular players at some of these
100%
tournaments that nobody wants to go to.
The Southern Nebraska Open Invitational, now featuring Brooks Koepka, just mad as hell, all the money in there, trying to get his money.
Right, and all he's trying to do is get half of that eight.
He's just like play, shoot 80, cool.
Yeah, right. Miss the cut, I'm good.
Exactly, go home, get out of here. Get out of this podunk town.
So when I read this, I like literally 40 minutes before this podcast, I was starting to try to think of questions. The one thing that I could come up with, I was like, I wonder, you know, golf is traditionally, it's a conservative. I don't mean like in a political means. I mean like, you know, from society standpoint, right? You know, the guys are conservative. They're not outlandish. They're not outspoken. There's not a ton of big personalities in golf.
Right.
Is this going to have some sort of impact on no name guys and maybe other guys who would maybe they're, because you figure there are probably guys who are sort of holding, you know, playing into that, right? Like, hey, golf is a quiet, stoic sport, blah, blah, blah. Maybe they're going to let their personalities rip on social media. I feel like it could lead to some stuff, some positive stuff and some negative stuff. Right. Yeah, when they're trying to size up, you know, you get on social media and just be like, well, let me tell you what I think about what women should be doing. Right. And then when he starts trending in a particular direction, they go up to explain it to him. It's like, no. We need these to be positive mentions. You can't just.
Right. Like I say,
all PR is bad good, press.
All
press is good press or whatever.
Yeah.
Or
well, so here's the thing. I mean, because, you know, but to your point, there was a whatever tournament it was, for whatever reason, when he cheated a number of times. But one of the times he cheated, Patrick Reed, I mean, he was mentioned all the time. But it was because he was a cheater and, you know, and all this other kind of stuff. And no one likes him and stuff like that. And so you mention him and talk about him and tweet about him that much. And he's on television, his name's being mentioned. He could still win a couple million of dollars, but not because he's popular. It's because it's just popular to talk bad about him.
Yeah, yeah. And to be fair, there may be something there where you can be sort of, you can play up a heel.
Yeah,
you can be a heel. Mm-hmm. And then if that drives people to watch these tournaments, you know, they're searching Patrick Reed. It's not for no crazy reasons. Yeah, you know, you can come out and get yourself an extra $10 million after you do your mandatory appearance. So that's the I can't say I wouldn't do it for $10 million, but I can't imagine it's like I need to show up at my friend's kid's bar mitzvah or something. I know it's not gonna be that. It's gonna be some corporate
bar mitzvah.
Exactly. So I thought that was interesting. So I was wondering what the fallout would be from this, like with the players in terms of. What are they going to start doing? Or will it even generate? Will it even spurn that? Will some guys just be like, I don't, you know, golf is hard enough. I don't have time for this. I feel like that's probably going to be the majority of people. And then last but not least, when the Golf Digest interviewer asked the official about, like, well, what do you say when people say you're just rewarding, you know, they're helping the rich get richer? The players who are already popular are obviously going to have a huge lead in this race. Yep. They claim that it's part of their growing effort basically to help members with off course popularity and likability. And it's a long paragraph, but basically in this paragraph, I'm paraphrasing, the official says that what they intend to do is offer a lot of services that would traditionally be done by like just private media or agents. They're going to make a lot of this available to golfers. So basically, ways on how to market yourself on social media, information about how often, how popular are on and off the course. You can track basically all the stats and stuff that media companies or people who represent personalities track. The tour is now going to offer that to all of their players for free so that they can so you know, it's a closed list. Well, it technically is supposed to be a closed list, but they said all of the information will be made available to the players so that they can make adjustments to their, you know, I don't know, Q rating and things like that. Right. Like you said, get out there on social media.
So basically put that management team on notice on how to get them more exposure.
And they said that. They said too, they was like, hey, we're not trying to replace agents. We're just trying to give them the players information so everybody can help themselves out. And I will say, like, this comes up a lot. I don't know if you guys watch a ton of baseball, but this comes up a lot in baseball where there's only a handful of stars, really. It's not really a star-driven sport. It's very regional, just to switch gears real quick. And somebody like Mike Trout gets brought up a lot. He's a, you know, even the Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, like, had some stupid comments and say, but, oh, he needs to do better at marketing himself. Maybe some truth in that. And I wonder if something like this would show up, you wouldn't need it in something like basketball or even football, but I wonder if it would show up in something like baseball or like that, where, you know, you just incentivize, because sports are made by the stars, really. Like you said, people come to watch, people used to come to watch Tiger. Now people come to watch, I guess, Brooks. Like, who is it now? Is this Brooks and Bryson? I mean, who do they have right now? That's the biggest draw. John Rahm, I guess, I suppose.
Well, Phil, I was thinking about that now. I mean, especially when it comes to the, like, Instagram and commercials and that kind of thing. Phil right now is killing that category.
He is. But again, a little late.
Right.
Yeah. And when you talk about the tour, I don't, you know, that's interesting. Like, I don't think there's one player that's like, I've got to watch this guy play. No. You know what I mean?
I know he's popular, but I don't know if he's.
But I don't think anybody says, JT, I got to watch. Yeah. No, I mean, I think the depth of the field is crazy. You know what I mean? And so
the talent,
I think the group as a whole is worth watching on, you know, watching as opposed to one or two.
Right. The bottom line, there is no more Tiger. Tiger is done.
He gone.
And there is no one person in golf that moves the needle like Tiger did or has. And I don't know if we'll ever see another person that moves the needle like Tiger did.
You know what's funny about that is for all this, and again, I it's a business, and I applaud their efforts to try to drive to create like a new model, for a new model for popularity to drive people to watch the sport. But if you think about it, what you just said, Obi, there's not going to be any Tiger. This wasn't because Tiger's personality was just on fire and he was just great. It's because he won all the time.
Exactly.
He was dominant. He was kicking it. Yeah, people like watching him play. So kind of at the end of the day, for all the people who are complaining about, oh, you know, this maybe doesn't reward performance, I don't think you can get around that really in any sport. As a matter of fact, I'm going to another sport. Football, this will happen sometimes with like guys like Baker Mayfield. Like basically, if you become or even in NBA, you become Zion Williamson. If you're a player who comes in with a lot of hype, and then for one reason or the other, maybe it's kind of not that great or whatever, people will start to chirp like, man, I see this guy in all these commercials, and he's either never playing or they're never finishing, blah, blah, blah. You didn't have to worry about that with Tiger. Tiger, he had the commercial appeals, I guess, sure. But people showed up and packed the tournaments to watch him play, to watch him execute, to watch him play the game.
Yeah. He was there too. He was never hurt. Well, like,
yeah. No, pretty
take
much.
That back. Yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Early, you know what I mean? Yeah. He was there all the time. I mean, he played every weekend, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So at the end of the day, like I said, you can say what you want about, you know, this gets around certain things. I don't think it does. I think it's probably just like a bonus to like, hey, it probably prevents a Mike Trout situation. It's like, look, if somebody shows up and they're like that, or they just start having a dope run, it's like, hey, also it would incentivize you to go ahead and, I don't know, do something. Start
sign a few autographs, make a few appearances because people tend to, especially if most people look up to these athletes. And so when you have a personal encounter with them, you all of a sudden like them, you know?
Yes.
I mean, I couldn't care. I couldn't care less about whether Ricky Fowler would win or not. But the moment he did something for Manny, he became my guy for no other reason than he was just nice to my
forever.
Son. You know what I mean? Yeah. Exactly. And even when you talk about the popularity,
Ricky's a
guy who probably could have benefited from this whole thing. Cause for a long time, up until his recent troubles, the last two seasons, he was one of the more popular guys on tour without even winning.
I think he probably still is.
Probably still is. I mean, you know, he was making close to, you know, $9 million in just endorsements. And so a year. And so, I mean, imagine another 8 million just because, you know, you walk around, you see kids and ridiculous adults wearing like the Ricky Fowler colors and the hats. You know what I mean?
Bright orange.
Yeah, and the bright orange stuff because they, for whatever reason, they want to, you know, they want to be like him. And so, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good example, actually. I think, Ricky, I don't think we'll have too many more of those types of guys where you can't, because he kind of caught the wave right, was it like early, like late 08, 2010, like right mm-hmm. in that, mm-hmm. right in that era or whatever, where, again, Tiger was still playing at least a little bit. Well, actually, he just had his stuff, but yeah, but you know, like golf was catching a wave or whatever. So, but yeah, I do think it's still going to incentivize, like I said, good play or at least memorable finishes. You got to do something clutch, like maybe Jon Rahm this year.
I think Spieth kind of could do it. Yep. You know what I mean? JT, if he would, you know, maybe lighten
up a little bit. He got to win a little
bit more. He's got to be a little more charismatic.
Yeah.
Those two are the ones who jump out. DJ Bubba's doesn't care
too.
Enough.
Bubba's one.
Yeah, DJ doesn't care enough.
He's not winning this. Yeah.
No, he's like, I don't care. That's, he doesn't want to do it.
He got Gretzky money too. He ain't worried.
Yeah, he ain't worried about none of that stuff. Yeah. We'll watch it and see. And you know what we should do?
What's
next
that?
Season, then what we should do, and we can keep the Manny Mills and Olivia Mills if we want, but maybe what we should do is we should chart our own popularity thing on tour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many times are people either emailing us, talking to us, or we talk about a player?
Yeah.
And we'll keep track of that, and then we'll rank the top players
by popularity. See if that lines up with the information, because we know that, like you said, the information on the list is going to come out. You know that's coming out. Yeah.
Right.
So the idea that they think they're going to keep that secret. It's not, and again, like me, as usual, the age of chaos. The first thing I want is that disgruntled player to come out with the anonymous comment. That's what I want. Like somebody to get popular, the modern Ricky Fowler, or maybe just some dude who just like who blows up on social media. I mean, I had 7 top tens and nobody's giving me $10 million.
Right.
So you know,
right. Like Sam Burns, he wins, but nobody knows his name.
Nobody knows his name.
Nobody knows who he is. Speaking of the pros, Lawrence, you've got some Q School stuff and other things with the pros you wanted to hit on in this show.
All right, yeah. LPGA Q School was completed this past weekend. Yep. They played 2 rounds in Alabama. One was in Mobile, Alabama, in the first round, December 2nd to the 5th. And then the other round was at Dothan, Alabama, on December 9th to the 12th. They played the Robert Trent Jones
Trail? Yeah, Robert Trent Jones,
Yeah, we've been talking about going – well, not we, but Rodney and I and Steve and us have talked about going in there and playing. But we haven't made it yet. But that's where they played the 2 rounds of golf. So we have 45, the top 45 with ties gained their 2022 LPGA Tour status. Of the 45 players, there were 15 Americans, which is not bad.
Yeah.
The highest finished American was Janie Jackson. She's from Alabama. She finished sixth place in the overall status there. And she's 27 from Huntsville, Alabama. This is her second year on tour. So a lot of these ladies, in my research that I did, a lot of them aren't rookies. Most of them were on a tour either last year or been on a tour for X number of years. But, you know, they lost their
card.
They had to go back to Q School to get it back again. One of our, at least one I like to follow and keep track of, Miss Mariah Stackhouse had to go back to Q School. She did make the cut, so she will get her card again for the 2022 season. Out of the 40, the cut line was -4, and she finished that. The cut line was -4 and above. You made the cut, and she finished that at -4. So,
yep,
she made about one stroke. I mean, can you imagine the stress, though?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know you, and probably she didn't know what the number was, maybe as she was playing,
right?
But you know what I mean. To you go through all that stuff, and you end up missing your card by one stroke.
Yeah,
or two, you know what I mean,
that's not fun.
And that's over 8 rounds, too.
Right. Right. Do you want to know if personally, just to take a pause real quick, either of you guys want to know? You want to know in that situation?
Yeah.
Okay. 100%. Okay. 100%. Okay. If you're coming in and you're on 4, you want your caddy to be like, hey, I just want you to know the cut is 4.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You got to par these. You got a minimum par these.
Mm-hmm. I'm with it. Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to. Yeah. I'll hate to go up and go, especially if you have a putt, 2 footer, you mm-hmm. just. Oh, you're missing. Oh, no big deal. And then you find out you won.
Guess it's better for your candidate to tell you before. Yeah, yeah, after, when you be like,
Because imagine if you're playing and you feel like you're playing well, but the folks ahead of you are playing lights out. You know what I mean? You need to realize I need to get aggressive here, because like just playing well isn't going to be good enough here.
Like a fighter who maybe thinks he's up on the scorecard, but it's not, and his brain man has to be like, "Hey, you need a knockout here. I'm losing. You've been hit a lot.
You may not remember a lot of this, but you've been hit a lot tonight. You need to fight back.
Hey, speaking of remembering things, that takes me to the next story. I'm going to leave the LPGA. Okay. And I'm going to go to Mr. How I say his name, please?
It's weird, like Thor Bjornsson.
Yeah, we're just going to call him Olsen. That's what I'm going to call him.
Okay, old Olsen.
Yeah. So I don't know if you all remember, if you all that have listened to this show over the years, we reported this back when it initially happened in 2019, when Mr. We'll call him Olsen, was on a flight coming back from the WGC. He was coming back from the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational. He was flying back to Europe. He got so drunk, high, or whatever, that he groped a lady, peed in the seat, ran up and down the aisle like a child, locked himself in the bathroom, and got arrested basically when he landed. So just this story is incredible to me, and I'll tell you why here in a second. So this is, in here he talks about what they were doing. So the 5-time European Tour winner has maintained that he has no recollection of his actions and that they were completely involuntary, the result of consuming large quantities of alcohol, prescription sleeping pills prior to taking off. Witnesses' accounts introduced to the jury allege Olsen drank beer, wine, champagne, vodka, ran about the cabin like, and I put in quotes, like a little boy, trapped himself in the restroom and verbally abused crew members. So, and when this all happened, Ian Poulter was on the flight with him. So when he was acting the fool, Ian Poulter kind of, you know, tried to corral him and get him to, you know, chill out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At some point, Ian Poulter went to sleep. And when that happened, that's when Olsen turned up and lost his mind. There's a long article, but the gist of it is he claims because he wanted to make sure he slept on this transatlantic flight. Mm-hmm. That's why he took all those, why he drank so much and why he took prescription pills so he could go to sleep. That's his excuse.
Right.
And so he's saying that the actions thereafter were involuntary because of what he said. However, the consumption of that stuff was voluntary.
He did it on purpose.
It's rock solid. I mean, it's like, sir, have you been drinking tonight? Yes, I have. I was at the bar and I was sad, so I drank a lot. Now I'm weaving on the road, but that's not my fault. I was sad and I drank, and then the alcohol made me weave. So case closed. I'm going to jail. I'm sorry. That's stupid. That's dumb, bro. Mm-hmm. That's dumb. Right. Yeah.
So the jury, and this is the part that gets me.
I wonder
what the jury found him not guilty.
I really have
no words for that. Man. How does somebody say that? I mean, everybody knows, everybody agrees that he did all these things.
Mm-hmm. Witnesses.
Even he agreed. Although he says I have no memory of it. And I did all and I drank all this stuff.
Then don't worry about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's no big deal.
I'm surprised, I guess I shouldn't be. I mean, this one was tough because it was on a flight. Everybody saw it. And again, from a media impact, I know the law gets applied differently, but that's an easy L to hit on somebody. Like, even if you're like, hey, we kind of like you, we low key like you. I'm the judge. I whisper like, hey man, I'm with you on this, but I can't let you off. I'll get disbarred. You know what I'm saying? We're basically saying that you were not responsible for your actions in any way. That's what we're saying. But you're not criminally insane. You just just imbibed too much, I guess. Right. And then we just give you a pass on this.
It makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. No. You know what I mean? If there was even an opportunity for him, like, why even have this trial? Like, why even, like,
I agree.
You know,
right.
Like, if it doesn't, like, him being found not guilty of this shouldn't even be an option when there are these many witnesses that he actually did this. Like,
the trial should just be for the sentence. It should just be it. You're right.
This should be for the sentence. You're already guilty. We know what he did. We're doing this to figure out what his punishment's going to be. Not whether he's guilty or not. Everyone saw him do it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I mean, who are these defense lawyers? Like, honestly. Like,
seriously.
How did they find these loopholes, whatever they were able to find?
So
to
apparently,
get
if you're going to act a fool, do it on a transatlantic flight and be a European. He's Danish, so
yeah, Dan,
maybe
yeah.
they did it over there. I'm sure the court was over there. He says right here. He was cleared in the London court. So he was cleared of sexual, because he supposedly sexually assaulted one woman.
Yeah, he grabbed
that he nuzzled and grabbed her breast, apparently. But apparently he did it because he was drunk. It's okay.
Got it. I took pills and I got, not just that, I took pills and I got drunk. So my bad, guys. Yeah. Won't do it again.
I was trying to go to sleep on the flight, but then instead of going to sleep, I just became belligerent and drunk.
Exactly. Yeah. Meanwhile, Josh Gordon re-enters the NFL for the 70th time.
Right.
He likes to smoke weed. It's like, yeah, okay. Oh, he's responsible for that here. Okay, I got it.
Right. Yeah, he's responsible for his actions.
I guess that's why they made that song, Blame It on Alcohol, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe, you know, who knows? So one thing I was thinking about last week, and it's so funny, I don't know why I'm doing this, but it's been the last few weeks. I'm becoming more like Vern, where I come up with these scenarios and these questions that just kind of pique my interest. I don't know why it's happening, but, you know, I'm missing in my Vern phase right now, right? So I was just thinking, and maybe it was because of the PXG equipment stuff or whatever, but it's like, we'll go Vern and LB. I didn't even really think of an answer for myself. I mean, I'll have one, obviously. But if you could only spend money on one aspect of golf for the rest of your life, okay? You pick one aspect of golf, whether it's equipment, lessons, any gadgets. But there's only one aspect that you can spend money on for the rest of your life.
Everything else I have is locked.
Everything else is exactly what you have at this moment from here on out. What would that be? If there's only one thing you can spend money on?
So, I mean.
Now, playing golf is a given. Like the round. Yeah. Like, not like I would just spend it playing. No, that's a given.
No, I got it. Okay.
Man, and this might be more so for Vern, who spends a lot of money on just golf.
He says it's hurting me the most. LB hasn't said anything.
He's the one stressed out the most, like,
I got mine down to one of two things.
So. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, go ahead. You said first.
So, man, I guess it would have to be it's so superficial, but I guess it has to be like my golf clothes, man. It has to be the drip. I don't know what I'm going to do without new clubs.
Because fashion changes.
But I do have three sets of irons, so I can switch between those. I have a lot of drivers. All my gear being frozen in time is going to hurt me, but I can't go out there like 3 years from now in like 2019.
Right.
What about the new Jays? The new Breds come out? The new Jordan Black and Red? Yeah, no. So it's probably going to have to unfortunately be closed. The thing that's least, I don't know if that's what you expected me to say. Definitely not lessons. I can get on YouTube. I can work it out. I got that. I got a lot of gear. I already got like multiple GPSs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's going to be closed. I think it's going to have to be closed. The drip.
Right.
Well, because my clothing is so basic.
Mm-hmm.
My stuff is timeless. Let's say it that way.
I like that. I like
my,
that.
My timeless. There you go. So I'm down between two things. I would think between lessons and equipment.
Okay.
Because equipment, at some point it has to be upgraded. I mean, it does quote unquote wear out at some point.
Yeah.
But I probably would go with the lessons. I think that would be the one thing I would want to continue
to do.
Yeah, because but then that goes back to the fact you have to still care enough to want to score. You know what I mean? You have to care enough to want to be better and not stay whatever level that you're at.
That's the thing. See, for me, I'm with LB on the lessons, but the problem is to personalize it, I would take, like, would it be like, I joke all the time about wasting money on the Paul Wilsons. Like, I want to take the lessons. Like, I want it to be lessons. I want it to be like, what I would do is spend, if there's one thing, it would just be lessons. No. And I know that I would take them and not listen, go back and watch a video once or twice and they go right back to the same bad habits that they're trying to break. And so, it can't be lessons for me. Equipment, I don't know. Like, I just don't know. I mean, I know you have to upgrade it, but I just don't know if I care that enough to say that's the only thing I'm going to purchase, you know, from here on out.
Right.
And for me, and I'm not a gadgets person, I still use the watch. And the watch that I have, we just found out a few shows ago, I don't even use it to its full capabilities. It can show me layup distances and all that stuff, and I never go that deep into it. I just see how far is the flat. Exactly. So so gadgets wouldn't be the thing. So I'm left with clothes, right? Like, that's the only other thing. And because unless you know what, I'll put it this way. Golf travel is included in that. Ooh. Because I think that's what it would be travel. It would be because it wouldn't be clothes.
Yeah.
Courses isn't included in this. I mean, like, our local courses.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think if I could spend it on
golf
anything,
vacations.
It would be golf vacations.
Yeah, that's a good one, actually.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Because that keeps it really fresh. Because you get up for trips, even if it's just, you know, North Carolina or wherever.
And that's probably, too, on a yearly basis, that's probably the most expensive thing that we do.
Yeah.
Sure.
Definitely next year.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to Bandit. I saw this thing on Twitter. Man, I probably should have had this prepared before I even mentioned it. But there was this guy at some course, and it was near the ocean, and it was really, really windy. He said wind gusts were up to like 50 miles an hour, and he was out there laughing with the caddy. And he's like, no one ever wants to play in this, but they were going to go out there because he just wanted to experience it and put it on like his little GoPro camera or whatever. Right. I mean, just wind blowing back. If we can barely stand still and swing the club, and all I could think about was if this is Bandon, Lawrence is going to have a horrible time.
I'm going to make sure he's not in my group at all.
It doesn't matter what group I'm in, Vern. If the weather is that way, you will hear it, my friend.
I know, but I don't want it directed to me while I'm playing. I don't need it to be bad and
raining. If I'm in the group behind you, you're going to hear it because I'm going to yell it from the tee box as you're putting on the next hole.
He's going to stop playing and just walk up there with his caddy and just yell at me the whole time while I'm
not playing anymore. I'm just going to heckle you the rest of the round.
I don't know why you're out here. This is dumb.
All this money to stand in the rain.
Yes.
Right. All this money to stand in the rain.
Rodney sent me a video last week of some other group. It may have been the Barstool guys or somebody who had just done a trip to Bandon.
Okay.
And it's like an hour long video, so I like fast forwarded through it because they actually showed themselves playing the rounds and stuff, and they were actually pretty bad golfers.
Yeah.
Let me phrase that. They were comparable to us. I'm saying that way.
Yeah.
But what stood out to me was the van, the ride that you mentioned, Vern.
Yes.
The van, the
from the airport.
To me, it's like a stripper van. It takes you from the hotel, from the airport to Bandon.
Yeah, so you're in for that at least.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, that's a nice van. I said, that's the van. I was trying to explain to him, you had already told us about that already and that you were trying to, you know, secure that.
Yeah.
So, because I think, too, that thing is started by one of the, somebody's professional caddy.
Yes. Yeah, very quit. Smart.
Yeah, he's like, he just stopped caddying and all he does now is just drive his van or bought the vans or whatever, that's his company. So, but when I heard that though, it made me think now, if he was a professional caddy, he quit that job to do this,
to drive people back,
how much is airport. He charging? You know what I'm saying? He was a professional caddy. Now he does this.
Quite a bit.
He changed his income stream from this to that.
Yeah.
So how much is he per head is he getting to shuttle people back and forth?
I do need to find that out quickly.
Yes.
I'm not averse to a homie trip. Like, I can rent a car. I know I'm labeled as a spend money guy, but if it's above a certain amount, I'd be like, you know what? It'll be fun. I'll just drive that. What is it, 6 hours? We did that to, what's that, Pinehurst? 3-3?
Pinehurst.
Yeah, bang. Yeah. So, yeah. But I do like it, though. It looks nice.
It does look nice.
I don't think it's that far. I think it's, I want to say 2.5 to 3 hours.
Bandon?
Yeah, from Portland.
Yeah, it's more than that.
Yeah, I think it's 3 hours. But yeah, but they showed the course and everything. And I'm sorry, I'm just changing the subject again. I got an email. Or I saw an email on website here earlier that the Carolina Room hotel that we stayed in Pinehurst being remodeled. They upgraded all the rooms and stuff. Because they were like a yellowish color, kind of whatever. They've modernized all the rooms, the bathrooms as well. The lobby area looks a lot more modern now too. I guess in all an attempt to get us to come back. But as soon as they redo number two, I'm there. I'm ready to go. So keep that in your mind.
More than 4 hours away. So you guys are kind of in the middle there.
Yeah. So it's five hours. It's 5 hours from Portland to Bandon.
To Bandon.
Oof.
And that's the closest Seattle's not. It's even further, I guess.
Yeah, that'd be the other way. Yeah.
It's further south.
Okay. Well, there you have it, folks. Yeah. A little bit of everything, golf, geography.
All that. Back to Raul, man. PXG, man. I'm with you. Buy some PXGs. Let me know how you feel, how you like
it. There it is, Raul. Would love to hear from you, man. Again, thank you guys for listening to Golf DMV. Check out Dr. Smith, Cachet Spine Sports. Go to the website, golfdmv.com. Till next week, guys.
It's Christmas.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, one more week till Christmas, right? Where's the time going?
The 14th. Yeah, man.
Good night. Yeah. Right around the corner. All right, y'all. We're out.